You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Wednesday, it's Executive Lounge time, and this week's Executive Lounge is a very special conversation with a CEO who's had quite the colourful career in the public space, a gentleman who has been in the working world north of four decades and is set to retire at the end of October. So this will effectively be potentially the last conversation that we have recorded with the outgoing CEO at Motus, that is Mr. Osman Arbi, and he joins me in studio for this conversation. Good evening, Uncle Osman. Thank you so much for taking the time. The last time you and I spoke, I remember you said you were going to be retiring, and I thought this is the one conversation we have to have before you retire. It's been four decades of work, it's been a colorful career, and it's all coming to an end.
Good afternoon, Jimmy, and to your listeners. Yeah, you're quite right. When we spoke the last time, I said I'm coming to the end of my career. My career started in January 1981 as an audit clerk doing my articles at Deloitte & Touche in those days. Today it's known as Deloitte. And after articles, I just stayed on, and I said for 23 years in total. And after that, I joined one of my clients, very prestigious, Imperial Holdings in those days. And 6 years ago, I was very privileged that I was in the position to unbundle the motor division out of Imperial Holdings, and we listed separately on the stock exchange. So we broke into two. Imperial was then bought out by Dubai World. Motor stayed on its own, and in our first year of listing, our operating income was $3.5 billion, and in June this year, we just reported $5.5 billion. So all in all, it's the right time to go after 43 years in the career. And Imperial Motors has been a great place where I could use my entrepreneurial skills. And it's time to give the younger generation an opportunity to take it further.
How does 43 years look? I mean, we've run through kind of like the cliff notes and the highlights around the Deloitte and then Imperial. How does a career that spans pre-democracy into democracy, into a new kind of government that we have now, how has that experience been?
Jimmy, you're a youngster like my children. So when I talk to them about the times when we had to study, they don't believe me and you wouldn't believe me, but I'm going to tell you now either way. So I couldn't study at Wits because of the wrong color. I couldn't study at UCT. So I landed up at University of Durban Westville, which was meant for Indians. And I could have jippoed my health by getting a certificate for being asthmatic, and maybe Wits would have taken me, but I decided not to do that and study at UDW. And that was the only Indian university that would accept us to do an accounting degree. I finished off there in 1981. I found myself in a very privileged situation because none of the big five audit firms would employ people of color. And at that time, Deloitte and Touche, now Deloitte, had just started employing people of color. And we were employed by Deloitte in 1982, January. And that's the first time I was 22 and a half years old that I worked with white people, eating with a knife and fork, and getting used to this environment where I wasn't only with Indian, colored, and African black people, because that I was used to, because I grew up in that environment. But now I was in a different environment, and I got used to it. And in 1982, started in January and developed my career as an article clerk, and then as a manager, and then as a partner. And ultimately, I headed up the audit division for Deloitte in Johannesburg, where I had 40 partners, 80 managers, and 400 staff. So it was a long journey, but a fruitful one. Because, I mean, I didn't grow up with a golden spoon in my mouth. Mm. I came from a farming town that you'll all remember is Dalstrom. I was born there. I could never school there because there was no Indian schools. So I schooled in Belfast, went to Standerton, which had the only Indian boarding school which I could go to for high school. So I went there and landed up at University of Durban Westville for my studies. So again, what did that teach me? A lot of independence, standing on your own, and doing what you have to do. And don't worry, at UDW, I did quite a bit of a mandla. I've been tear gassed. I've been hit by a baton. So that's part of growing up. And in 82, when I joined Deloitte, I continued, and I was very fortunate that I had some very good partners, some very good mentors that carried me through those difficult times because apartheid was alive and well, and it wasn't easy. I had to live in Lanesia and travel to work every day, 1.5 hours in the morning, 1.5 hours in the evening. But once you work with good people, and I was working for a good firm, And 23 years flew by. And then I joined one of my clients. In fact, Imperial was one of my audit clients for 5 years before I joined them. And when I was called in by the then CEO, Bill Lynch, who was a ex-Irish individual that came to South Africa with the matric certificate and then grew the Imperial business study, listed it. And he said to me, I thought we had done something wrong at the audit. And he said to me, I'm looking for a black CA. So I said, am I not black enough? And he said, no, but you're overqualified. So I said, I'm a partner in a firm, so what? I'm a chartered accountant. I'll do what you want me to do. And a week later, I got a piece of paper from him to say that this is your first year salary. This is your title. This is your first year's incentive. And the job title read, is what you make of it. He got up from his chair. If you know Bill Lynch, he's a big guy. He got up in front of me, shook my hand, and he said, boy, I'll look after you. I shook his hand, and that was a deal. That was how deals were done, I suppose. And yeah, 20 years later, I'm retiring. So I'm not complaining. I mean, even in the 20 years, I had great roles. But I work for great people like Bill Lynch and Hafiz Mohammed and all the other people that were CEOs in the business, Hubert Brody and Mark Lamberti. So I worked with a great team, developed great skills. And then fortunately, in my last 6 years, I was allowed to use those skills as a CEO of Motus. And I feel very comfortable that I leave 20,000 people behind with a market cap of 21 billion rand. So I think my job's done, and I can put hand on my heart and say I can enjoy my retirement now with my family, with my wife and my grandchildren and my children. So that's what I want to do.
Looking back on a career like that, did you at 22 and a half joining Deloitte, did you ever imagine that you'd be the CEO of a listed entity in any space?
Jimmy, this is a young boy from Dalstrom, just managed to get a job. Got my first check of 450 rand. Do you think I was even thinking? All I was praying for is the end of articles. End of articles, you pray for a job that takes you to the next level. So no ways in my wildest dreams could I thought of what would have happened ultimately. So no, we took one step at a time. Apartheid was alive and well. Jobs were few and far between for people of color. So whatever you took, you treasured. You worked very hard. And you persevered and developed with the team. So, no, I didn't think about it. It wasn't in my wildest dreams. But, yeah, it goes. I made it.
Uncle Osman, the career that you've had has obviously given you, as you said, a lot of opportunities, a lot of areas of experience to grow in. What are some of the treasured memories that you have from some of the experiences, maybe a travel experience or some of the things that you learned that you can say, you know what, I'm glad I was in that kind of situation because it did this for my character?
The first thing is because I had to leave home early, I got my independence very early. From class 1 to standard 5 in Belfast on my own, Monday to Friday, not leaving home with a lunchbox in your hand, that became my norm. At an early age, I had to go to boarding school in standard 6 and up to matric. And then I stayed in res for 1.5 years in Durban as well, and then in a flat. So, you know, independence was a key thing for me. That's what I developed and I treasure till today, my independent way of doing things, my independent thinking. And then what I learned at an early stage is that whether you're in the audit profession or in the business world, it's all about people. If you work with good people, you surround yourself with good people, you can only go places. And I was very privileged that in my career at Deloitte, I was a staff partner. So I employed a lot of people out at WITS and at RAU in those days, at UCT, things like that. So I was in a very privileged position where I could recruit young people. They come in very green, but you develop them. And in 3 years' time, they leave after articles. And then you meet your people, their general managers, their CEOs. So to me, that was very rewarding. And we were in a very privileged position at that time where transformation was taking place. So my boss in those days was Israel Skosana. Now, it was a privilege to work with a bright guy like that, who came from Anglo-American as a bursar, and then we did our articles. He was my boss, worked with him, and I developed people as we went along. So, you know, for example, I recruited a young, not even a CA, a BCom grad called Luazi Bam. And then Luazi worked for me and I said, Luazi, if you're coming to Deloitte, you better become a CA. He said, but I don't have money. I said, I'll sponsor you, but you better become a CA. And he did become a CA, a clever guy. and worked in the audit division, worked in the corporate finance, went to consulting, and ultimately became the CEO of Deloitte and Touche for Africa, and did that for 8 years. So I'm just saying that to me, that was the privilege. My job was my job, but developing people along the way was such an achievement that you enjoy see people grow and develop, and then you see them in big positions. It's just a privilege. It's just nice to feel that way. Because we, you know, everyone makes money, but developing people is not an easy skill. It's a very difficult skill, but I enjoyed it along the way and I enjoyed the journey.
43 years on, what are you looking forward to most about retirement?
I think firstly, I just want to spend the first 5-6 months quality time with my wife and my grandchildren traveling. I enjoy traveling, so I'll be doing quite a bit of that. And then I'll be looking for an opportunity after March maybe, to maybe put some of my skills back into operation, which will be either as a non-executive in maybe a listed company. I'm in non-profit organizations already. I've got three already. Firstly, I'm for the Motus Group that we started the initiative 20 years ago with one library in the townships. Today, we've got 83 libraries employing over 100 people, touching the lives of 85,000 children, where we develop the libraries. We stock them with books, we put computers in, and the children would then use the library at our schools. And starting from 1 to 83 or 84 that we've got at the moment, I'll stay on and I'll continue giving the community back. Most of our libraries are around Gauteng, south of Joburg, Sebokeng, Reiga Park, Soweto, El Dorado Park, so we're all over the show. And then obviously we're involved with clinics as well called the Unjani Clinics, whereby we take containers, we refurbish them, and we recruit nurses, and we put these containers in townships where if you get colds and flus and running stomachs, you don't have to rush to the clinic. These nurses are well qualified to give you the medication. They can give you scripts up to Schedule 4, and you know, that's a great value. And after 5 years, those nurses own those places. So it's theirs. We create entrepreneurs out of nurses. And it's a great achievement. So, and there's one or two others that I'm involved in as well. So giving back to community is quite important for me because, you know, someone gave me something and that's why I am where I am. I'll give back to the community and I'll still keep in touch with the corporate world. The motor world still excites me. So I'll be putting something back into that community as well. And let's see how it goes. I'm still young and I'm feeling good and I'll add more value.
That's a remarkable story about giving back after you've had the opportunity to have someone pave the way for you. If you're just tuning in, we're in conversation with Osman Arbi. He is the CEO of the Motus Group. We are looking at his career, his life, and we're taking a look at the things he enjoys doing when he's not working. Uncle Osman, you mentioned you enjoy traveling. Your favorite destination?
There's no favorite destination because the world is so big and they're so different. For example, if you go to India, you don't go with the mentality of Europe. You go with a different mentality. Traffic is crazy. Lots of people. Go to Mumbai, there's 25 million people doing the same thing you're doing. Then you go to Europe, which is more relaxing. You go to the Caribbean islands. You go to Alaska. You go to Japan. So they're all very, very different. And you take one step at a time. And you just enjoy the moment. And you treasure the moment. So I've got a lot to do in South America that I haven't done. I'll be doing quite a bit of that. I'll be doing the Caribbean islands, more of that. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot to travel. And every travel trip gives me a different opportunity to look at things differently. But the one thing that you may not know, Jimmy, and this comes from a person that was in bed for 6 months in 2018. I had colon cancer. And while they were operating, I got a stroke. And I was not allowed, I couldn't use my right arm, my right leg, and I lost some eyesight. 6 months in bed. A lot of physio, a lot of occupational therapy. And 2019, I came back to run my listed company. And God's been great to me. And my team's been great to me. 6 years later, I am who you're seeing across the mic here, that I've managed to come through. And God's blessed me coming out of that and still running a listed company for 6 years. I can't be more privileged. No prayers are enough that I've done what I needed to do.
That's exceptional. That's absolutely exceptional. Fighting spirit, never giving up and coming back to finish the mission that you had started. Favorite food?
I'm obviously coming from an Indian background. I love my Indian food, but I'm big into Italian food. Mm-hmm. my pastas and pizzas and things like that. I really love that. And I'm a big seafood person as well. So I love all my king clips and my basses and things like that and soles. The variety I enjoy. Mm. So that's part of my traveling plans, that I can always eat anywhere. I can find food somewhere. And that's what makes it exciting.
Final question. The grandchildren. If you could impart one piece of wisdom to them that they will carry from granddad for the rest of their lives, what would that be?
I did it for my children, and I'll do it for my grandchildren as well, is give them the best education. Coming from an Indian environment, I went to an Indian school, an Indian university, and to me, those are the biggest blinkers that were brought on me. Not by me, but by what happened at that time. So I made sure that my children didn't go to an Indian school. They went to an international school that was publicly recognized, where the cultures were different. There was a mixture of cultures, kids from different backgrounds. So I would make sure that my grandchildren get the same privilege of getting the best education in a culture that's widespread. They learn different cultures. Cultures are not taught in a home. Cultures are learned in school, in the sporting environment. And you want your children and grandchildren to appreciate the world from a very wide lens, so they can appreciate things that, yes, we are privileged, there's people less privileged. There are people that are white, black, or brown. Doesn't mean they superior, inferior, or anything like that. They people just coming from a different background. And that's what I try to instill in them, which I did in my children very well. One's an anesthetist and one's a chartered accountant. And I'm sure the grandchildren will do well as well. But education and learning different cultures and traveling is the best form of investment I can make for my grandchildren.
Humanity, strength, and doing things to give back. I think we'll leave it at that. That's a perfect spot to leave the conversation. Thank you so much, Uncle Osman, for coming through to the studio. We wish you the best of happiness and success in your retirement, and we certainly celebrate the career that you've had as long as it has been. Hope you look forward to all of the joys of being a stay-at-home grandfather, and don't work too hard.
Thank you.
That was Osman Arbi, who is the CEO of the Motus Group, joining us for our Executive Lounge segment this week and giving us the privilege of conducting his final interview in his professional career.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.